Go Huskies.
And now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Sean, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
Well, everybody, thanks for tuning in, and we are ready to go to chat with the head coach, Joe Sean, with the Michigan Tech Hockey Update. Good morning to you, Coach Sean, and how are things over at the SDC?
Everybody in the whole area from Gary Kruzich, I just left him, and he said, when you get on that radio, you tell everybody that I said hello. So from Cruiser, who we just left at Coach's Corner, hello to the whole to everybody in the whole world from Gary Kruzich.
That's interesting. The last time I saw Gary, he was at Coach's Corner, too.
Yeah, it's our morning thing. We solve all the world's problems. And I would also like to congratulate a couple local flavors in the that were inducted in the UP Hall of Fame. I'm sure you guys have been all over Bob Olson.
Yeah, we've been talking about, go ahead.
Bob Olson, and people may or may not realize this. They probably do, but back in the day when I played in things back, and then when I was working at Lake State way back, they... Wimple was it. There was no internet or anything, so everybody called Wimple. Mm-hmm. And so when scores were announced, even at our games, I'd be on the ice playing, and they'd say, from Wimple, scores from across the country, and they'd give all the scores. And that was, I believe, all Bob Olson.
It was Bob Olson, and his wife, Etta.
Yeah, and Etta, yeah. Wonderful, wonderful people. Mm-hmm. But congratulations, way overdue. You know, sometimes people get overlooked, I guess, and good for him. And Jeff Finger, tremendous hockey player. I remember watching him when he was young, and I never had the opportunity to coach him. Would have loved to have coached him in juniors. He ended up going to Green Bay instead. But I remember watching Jeff one time score a goal from the red line at the Polar Stadium when he was like a Bantam. Just a young kid and just had a rocket of a shot. Tenacious hockey player.
So, he still has that rocket of a shot.
Congratulations to both of them and to those families. It's just a tremendous, tremendous accomplishment. And to the others as well, but those are people that I personally know, so I want to congratulate them.
It is really cool, and another couple of feathers in the caps of all of us here in the Copper Country who love the game of hockey. Well, you've been very busy, Coach, since the end of the season. Tell us a little bit about some of the meetings and everything else you've been going on with the NCAA meetings, the WCHA meetings, all going on, right?
Well, like, as always, Dirk, when you come back from those, you're a little bit, not a whole lot gets solved. You know, actually, Casey Jones from Clarkson stood up this year and made a great comment that the structure of it has to be a little bit different, because how it is right now is we have our league meetings first. Mm-hmm. We know some of the national issues that are going to happen, so we just get a feel. And there's administrators there, WCHA administrators. Dr. Samergut's down there doing her thing we're in some combined meetings, but then they're aside doing policy and doing administrative duties, and then coaches get together, and then we have an agenda that we have to get through for national purposes that are going to be going on later in the week. What really should happen is we should meet early, then go to the national meetings, then come back for an afternoon or something with our league meetings, and then have an overall feel and discuss what's going on at the national meetings, because there's always stuff thrown up. But the big topics this year down in Florida were obviously for rightful purposes, video review policy, just way too long. If you recall, we had a game this year against Northern Michigan where we had a goal disallowed first, I believe. We scored a goal and it was disallowed after a long, long review. Do you recall that?
I do.
And then shortly after that, they had one. And ours was such a, well, we know what happened, but we can't really do that. So Northern Michigan then, I believe, had a goal. And the same thing happened. Well, they overturned that goal as well because, well, if we're doing this to Tech, we're doing it. I mean, it's kind of almost seemed like that.
Yeah.
And the games just get too long.
Yeah.
And we don't have a tremendous television exposure, which throws you into television blocks. People don't realize that. For sporting events, they allocate a certain amount of time. And then if you go over that, you're going into other programming.
Right.
Which throws them off a little bit for advertising and all that. But they are trying to get that nationalized a little bit more for the review policy, which is too much right now. There's too much that's being reviewed, and I agree with that. That was a big deal. Overtime was a huge deal again, trying to get a nationalized policy all over the board on that. But I think we all agreed that there should be a uniform format. The question is that when do you end the game? There's people that want to take the pairwise, which is the important thing, right?
Right.
The pairwise, which determines the national tournament seeding, and they want to apply weighting systems to it in overtime. So if you win I think this consensus is that they'd kind of like to maybe go straight to a 3-on-3 and then a shootout and take away that 5-on-5. Because really with a 5-on-5, for 5 minutes, it turns into a 65-minute game if the game is tied. So you're playing 65 minutes versus 60, and the game's 60 minutes long. So what do you do after that? Do you wait it and say, okay, if you win on the 5-on-5 portion of it, you get 3/4 of a win. If you wait it, and then if it goes to the shootout, you get, you know, they're talking about waiting it. Me personally, I'd like to take that out. If it's a tie, it's a tie. And then everything after that, after 60 minutes and everything after that's for standings, you know what I mean? For league standings, whoever your league wants to determine it, but get on a set format so that everybody, because right now how it is, if we play a NCHC team or a Big Ten team or an Atlantic team, if we play one of those teams in non-conference, you can't go to overtime. That's how the rule is written now, that you don't go because it's different. So you don't go to any overtime, it's done, which, you know, creates in the
fans. You mean after the 5 minute NCAA?
Yes, that's right. The game is done. You can't play a 3-on-3 even if you want to,
right,
or a shootout. Now, we haven't seen that because we haven't had that many home games against non-conference people lately, although that's changing. We have Clarkson coming in this week, and we have things going on in the future that are balancing that more, and our scheduling going out is getting more under control for us to get some home games. So those were, I think, the biggest topics. And then the number one deal was that they did they changed the recruiting format, that they're trying to get it so you can't contact recruits and talk to recruits earlier, and you certainly can't commit them like is happening right now and committing recruits way out. So now what it is that you can't talk to them, to a recruit, I believe it's January 1, I'll have to check this, January 1 of their sophomore year is the first that you can talk to them, and then you can't commit them until August 1 of, okay, so January 1 of their sophomore year, and then you can't commit them till August 1 of their junior, going into their junior year. So there's basically a 6-month period in there, 7-month period, where you can start talking to athletes, but you can't commit them for that leg, which is a good thing because now they can talk to a lot of people, and it's not done, because otherwise agents would be so involved and there'd be immediate signing on that first day that you can actually theoretically talk to them, which would throw discredit because everybody knows what's going on with agents and things like that. So,
and just to clarify, when you say commit, you mean actually signing the
verbal fee? No, verbal.
Okay, verbal. Okay.
You know, that's a little bit of a gray area because NLIs are for the following year, and if you're signing an NLI, you can't sign an NLI as a junior, so it's a verbal commitment.
Okay.
So here's my take on it. This is what I'd like to see. What I think, in some fashion, I think somehow they've got to come to a system where there's a monitored roster with the NCAA. And what I mean by that is you have a certain amount of scholarships. You have to allocate when you commit an athlete when that player is coming in and what that player is coming in on to some degree. And that would be a minimum, right? Because a lot of times when we commit, you know, you'll tell somebody, this is what we have right now. As things change and things and as you evolve possibly, it can go up from there, but this is the minimum. So if you do that, then you know that you have from year to year, you're working under 18 scholarships. You can't have what you have now, which is, you know, teams with, you know, 10, 12, 14 players committed to come in next year, and they're only losing 3 players.
Right.
You know what I mean? It would take care of that and monitor that. So they haven't really dealt with the problem. The problem is overcommitting. They feel that they're treating it like the overcommitting problem is because you have access to these players way too young, and players are making uneducated decisions early. But really, the reality of it is that's not going to change, and there's still going to be all this committing and all until they get some sort of a roster limitation mechanism in place. And I think that's what they have to do to keep the integrity and not keep it, to put integrity back into our jobs. And again, like I always say, protect us against ourselves. So those are the big things at the meetings. Probably some league things and stuff like that aren't really overbearing. But like I said, what happens when you get down there is you're really being educated into what committees are doing. So you appoint people to some committees for various terms, different committees, and then we'll talk for, you know, on an agenda that has way too many items, you'll talk for, you know, 10 minutes on an item, and then they'll say, well, okay, we can't come to a resolution here, we'll turn it over to committee. So then you go back, and then the next year you go back, you have the committee coming in telling you what their recommendations are. So right now, the format, we've been saying it forever though, but it has to change a little bit so that there's actually more. What you can't have is things being decided upon, like last year, one of the coaches stood up and made a great point. A year ago, they changed to a 19-man player roster, a 21-man roster, right. 19 skaters for a game. That was never even discussed at the meetings. All of a sudden, that got thrown in somehow, and whether it was at the end of an agenda and it didn't get, you know, talked about, but that all happened through committee. So someone wanted a enhanced roster, and it got done. So those types of things shouldn't happen, where you come out of there and it's like, how did that wasn't even an issue down there. So, but all in all, pretty good.
Let's talk more about, I got a lot of questions from some of the stuff you're talking about, Coach. We'll take a quick time out, be back with more. It's a Michigan Tech Hockey Update with Head Coach Joe Schoen.
Attention. This is the Dirk Side.
Oh, congratulations.
On Mix 93, WKMJ-FM, Hancock.
Welcome back to a Michigan Tech Hockey Update with Head Coach Joe Schoen here on Mix 93 WKMJ. We are so excited to get caught up on everything Michigan Tech Hockey from behind the scenes. And, Coach, there has been some changes in the rosters from underclassmen. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I guess, you know, we choose to look ahead to our team. But there's been a lot of talk going around. I know a lot of talk going around. I've been asked several times. And we do have three players that will not be returning. Gavin Gould being one, Tommy Beretta being one, and Andrew Ballant being one. And what I can say, people know, you know, I've been too forthcoming, too honest in what I've said on the show. In today's world, that puts, I guess, me in a vulnerable situation to people who may not agree, you know, with the way I operate and things like that. So it makes me vulnerable. The easiest thing to do is to come on here and be rosy and cheery, right, and say what people want to hear. And I guess I have to do that. That's a good part of my job. My job is to promote this program in a good way. And I think in saying this in honesty, and people know that I'm probably too much this way, but there were no players cut from our hockey team. I can say that, and I want to show respect to the players. These young men worked extremely hard for me personally. I spent a lot of time with these players, especially with Tommy, as I've talked before of how I felt about Tommy, and with Gavin. You know, there was a time when Gavin was solely my responsibility when I was an assistant coach. It was my job to handle, you know, Gavin's yours. He's, you know, and Gavin knew that. So everything that he did his freshman year and on was through, you know, our work together and things like that. And I'm not talking about his accomplishments and things like that. I'm talking about his interaction with staff, right. Was primarily through me. So I have a lot of time into these players personally and a lot of love for them, a lot of affection for them. And they felt it was best, and I understand it, but best for them to go a different direction. After meetings where we had really talks on where we were at going ahead. So no players were cut, no scholarship money was taken away. And I respect their decision. I love these guys. They're, you know, they were a huge part of our program. But from that point on, as soon as you get notification regarding something like that, you're looking forward to the next guys and what you have to work with. And I'm extremely excited. I had one staff member say, Joe, don't oversell it. But in honesty, this is the best I've felt in my 3 years, the best I've felt about a group as far as balance. And it, you know, and the reason I say that is my first year we lost a goaltender, right? So what are we going to do in goal? So our goaltending position, we went out and got picked up Packy Munson to fill a hole, knowing that there was some, you know, some issues we were going to have to work through with that. And then we got great goaltending out of you know, Devin and Packy and Robbie. And then this year we had the situation with Packy, so we brought in Matt Jurcik, who's been an absolute gem. He's been a tremendous not only goaltender, but a tremendous leader on our team and in our locker room. He's a great guy. So going forward, our goaltending position, I feel great about with what we have coming in with Maddie being back, Robbie being back, both having significant time and having success at this level, and Blake Piedla, who's going to be a star. He's going to be a star goaltender coming in. So our goaltending, I feel absolutely tremendous about. Our defense now, last year we went in with a lot of holes. My first year, that probably we would have felt that was our strong point, although we knew we had three freshmen that were going to play. We had Mark Ock, and in reality, that first year, we lost four of our top D with Cliff Watson going and Shane Hanna going and Matt Roy going, Chris Leibinger. But we returned Mitch Renke, Dane Burks, and Mark Ock. So we returned them on defense. So we knew that at least we had three that we could go to, but we still knew we were going to play three young guys, three freshmen, if you will. Todd Killinan ended up working in and doing a great job for us. But now we had all those freshmen and sophomores play so many minutes last year and do such a good job for us. Our goals against went down a half a goal last year. Right. Our goals against went down a half a goal last year. So I'm excited about that. I think we've added a couple guys in Chris Leip and Brendan Dadema, who are 6'4" guys that have a degree of talent and skill and can end a cycle and do things for us, the things that we struggled with last year in the D zone. So I like our D core. And then up front, we have returning a good portion of our scoring. Our freshmen were outstanding last year. I think the talent level of those guys created a bit of discomfort within our group, a group that wanted to be kind of at the forward position, maybe wanted to, okay, it's our turn now. Well, really it's whose ever turn is stepping up and doing a job, right? And our freshmen did a great job. You know, Hallinan was an all-rookie guy. We had Broachman could have been an all-rookie player. Bliss could have been an all-rookie player. Parentino showed what he can do. And we have a great group of freshmen, forwards up front, and then we're adding some size and some forechecking ability and some skating up front to go with them coming in next year with Logan Piedla and Jake Crespi, who's coming back off an injury, and Parker Suretsky's coming in. So Logan Ganey, we just added him. He's going to be a very good player for us. It's going to be very much in Dylan Stamen mold. So I think we've got a nucleus, and I think we've got the character base, and I think we have some young guys now in leadership roles that are going to be able to, you know, I kind of liken it to have the sun and water get at them where they were kind of overshadowed in some ways. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to see Grayson Reitmeier take control. I want to see Alex Smith take control of, you know, he's the leader in reality of, I say all the time, whoever controls the locker room controls the team. They control the team. Alex Smith controls the locker room, and I want him to control it in a very good way for us and lead us in a good direction, and he seems excited to do that. And we also have Ray Bryce, who is a tremendous leader by example. Seamus Donahue, a tremendous leader. Those guys will probably be I have to talk to them and let them know of the responsibility. I don't think I did a great job of that last year. I kind of let...
You talk about captains?
Captains. I kind of let the guys... you know, we knew who were assistants coming back. You know, Jake Lucchini, Dylan Stamen, they were captains coming back. They kind of brought to me that they thought Jake Jackson should be there. Jake ended up doing a very good job for us. He seemed to have a really good poised nature to him. But what we need to do is let the natural leaders, the guys that naturally have those innate abilities, be the guys that are driving force. We're going to change some leadership structure around. I think our culture has been our biggest strength, and we have to get back to that being our biggest strength. And I think we have the guys, and I'm positive, I'm sure we have the guys on the team and in the locker room that want to do that with everything in them. And so now they'll have some room to grow, and they won't feel intimidated in any way of doing what they feel is the right thing to do.
Tommy Parentino, I did talk to him a little bit quite a few weeks back. Can you tell us at all about his... I don't want to get into something that you're not... We didn't talk about this before we came on the air. I know he got banged up a little bit.
Basketball.
Yeah, okay.
Basketball.
All right, I didn't want to say it.
Yeah, basketball injury. They were playing... the guys get together, they do their workouts in the spring, and they get to, you know, who knows what else. You know, but they were playing basketball, and he got a fracture on his in his knee area, I believe, playing basketball. So... that how you'll like this, Luker, that highly competitive physical sport of basketball, which is a grind. I mean, it is a highly competitive sport, but he got hurt. So he was limited on his spring workouts, which is a shame because he's a guy that has so much talent and would gain so much confidence in out of the weight room and being able to push guys off and make some time and space and things like that to be that much stronger on winning battles, which would drive possession when he's on the ice, because when we have possession when he's on the ice, he can make plays. So that set him back a little bit, and I'll get a better report now. I've been gone for 12 days or so, and I'll get a better report when I get back. The guys are back now for track A. They're lifting. They're taking classes. I'm sure they're going to hit the golf course as soon as they can get out of their workout today. So I'll get a better report on where he's at and where he is going ahead.
A couple of questions sent in already, Coach, and one of them is any underclassmen heading to development camps this summer that you know of?
Yeah, there's a lot. And actually, the ice is going on a little bit early to help these guys. I don't know off the top of my head all of them, so I don't want to leave guys out. But I do know that it's a high number, higher than I would have expected. It's a high number of guys going to camps, and I'm saying 7-8 maybe, something like that. So we're getting well represented. And you know what? A lot of that's a tribute. You know, part of it's a CBA, you know, like the collective bargaining agreement with the NHL. And you know, you look at it now, look how young the American Hockey League is. And it used to be, I have a friend that's a scout in the National Hockey League, a good friend. And the theory is now, at least their theory was, and I think it's growing, they can sign 10 guys for entry-level contracts. So 10 free agent type of guys or whatever, 10 guys, and free agents actually go for more money than drafted players, because a drafted player is yours. You can say, we'll give you this, sign. We're a free agent. There's bidding for them, right? But still, the entry level is a lot. They can sign 10 guys for what they used to sign one guy for, because the entry level is 87.5 is the max pay, I believe, in the American Hockey League. $975 is the max pay in the NHL. So if you're on a two-way contract and you play in the American League, you're paying a guy $87,500 on a max deal in the American League to play when he's in the American League. Well, you can sign 10 of those guys and still be under $1 million, where back in the day you'd sign one guy and try to get him to pan out for $1 million.
Yeah.
So if you hit on two or three of those guys, you're way ahead of that. Well, they're hitting on those guys, and a lot of those guys are college guys. They're like, look at Boston's lineup.
Right.
I mean, so many teams. Look at Jake Lucchini went up and scored 6 goals in like 12 or 14 games. Dylan Stamen went up and played virtually every game, but I think 2 into a second-round playoff run with Hershey. So these guys are going up. The league's getting younger. They can go up. They can play. There's a lot of guys that are going right into the National Hockey League, and our guys that are going are performing. And that's the biggest thing, is that, you know, with me, it's no different than any of us. You want people from, you know, that's why people recruit Michigan Tech students, right? Because they know they're good. The job fair, we say it all the time. They're coming back to the job fair. I tell our parents and things when we're recruiting all the time, Michigan Tech people, it's an Ivy League type education, because Michigan Tech people know that Michigan Tech students are really good. So they come back for the job fair. They're not coming back just to promote their businesses. They're coming back to hire people because they know they're good nationally, internationally, worldwide. Same with if our players are performing. You know, Joel Esperance, Rookie of the Year for Dallas in the American Hockey League. Mitch Rehnke broke their record this year for single season a rookie scoring by a defenseman. Our guys are going up. Mark Ock had a very good year over in Europe. They're doing extremely well. That helps us, and we're doing our job, and we're proud of our guys, and it gives them opportunity, which is what we're after.
Next question for you, Coach. We see the schedule. Robert Morris, we're heading there for our first two games of the season.
Yep.
This listener asks, is Robert Morris going to have a return trip back to Houghton?
Yes, they are. It'll be because we're full for the following year. As of right now, it'll be the year after that. And I'll tell you what happened on that. I was contacted by Derek Schooley, a friend of mine who coaches at Robert Morris, former Western Michigan guy, and he asked us if we wanted to play in a tournament. It was going to be ourselves, Robert Morris. I probably shouldn't even mention the team's names. Notre Dame was one of them. Then it was going to be at the whatever, the Gala Center or whatever. I don't know. It's not the Gala, but the Pittsburgh Penguins rink. Mm-hmm. Well, the tournament got canceled for whatever reason. I don't know if it was a scheduling deal or anything. So we were left with a hole in our schedule because I kind of verbally committed to go play there. So now we don't have games, and neither does Robert Morris have games. So we said, well, let's play. He said he really needed the home games. We need them as well, but we were going there anyways. We were planning to go there. Okay, we'll do that, and then you come back here. So they're normally one of the best teams in the Atlantic Conference. They'll be a good series. What I want to do is I want our people to see some other teams. They're going to see Clarkson this year. We're going to see Robert Morris this year. So we have some, you know, Robert Morris in a couple years, but we're going to start to get different teams to come in here. We're working out a more long range deal with Clarkson and St. Lawrence, trying to get Northern Michigan involved to get some things involved. We have Notre Dame coming in and not this year, but the following year for a game, the development program coming in at that time.
A lot of people, just not to interrupt, but a lot of people asking about Notre Dame, you know, when they're coming in.
Yeah. It's not next year. It's not this coming year, but the year after.
Okay.
And it's a one game deal. They owe us Michigan Tech a game. I guess they owe Northern Michigan a game because Northern helped them this year and went down and played them a series down there. So they're coming back. It's basically, I think, a 2-for-1 with Northern. So they're going to play us one night. And it's already worked out what night we're playing them. I can't remember what night we're playing them, but we'll play Notre Dame one night, and Northern will play the development program, and then we'll flip-flop, and we'll play the development program, and they'll play Notre Dame. So we have them coming in, and we got some other things in the works. Right now, we have actually I think it's 3 years out, or maybe it's 2 years out, 3 years out, we have 20 home games scheduled outside of the GLI.
Awesome.
So we're starting to get that was a preference of mine to get more home, not of mine. Dr. Samgren wants the home games, and she's put an emphasis on me to do that. I remember 1 year here, we played 10 non-conference games on the road.
Yep.
The year before Mel left, 10 non-conference games all on the road at Duluth, at Notre Dame. The GLI is basically, I mean, they're home, but we're away. All of them, Michigan State. All these non-conference games on the road, that's a hard grind for a hockey team to play that schedule on the road.
Absolutely. We've got a lot more to talk about with the schedule and with head coach Joe Sean. You do have a couple of minutes to get a question in. If you want, do it quick. DJ@themix93.com. We'll be back with more. Welcome back to the Joe Sean Hour. We only have a few short minutes remaining. It's actually not the Joe Sean Hour. It is a Michigan Tech hockey update with head coach Joe Sean. And we're talking about a lot of things. The schedule came out last week. Coach, we already talked about Robert Morris, at Robert Morris, and that they will be making the return trip in a couple of seasons. But I'm really excited about Clarkson coming up right before Christmas.
Yeah, great, great team. Always one of the top teams in the ECAC. There'll be pairwise games for sure that'll go one way or another for us in the pairwise. Highly competitive, coached by a very good friend of mine, Casey Jones. We went through the grind a lot of years together. He's a great guy, tremendous sense of humor. Hopefully we have a luncheon that weekend. I'll talk to the Blue Liners about that because he's extremely entertaining. Mm-hmm. I mean, entertaining. He calls me and, you know, if he has a good joke, he'll call me with it I'm laughing thinking about it. Some guys can just make you laugh when you think about them, and he's one of them. And then Brent Brecky, one of his assistant coaches there, Josh Haug, they have a nice staff. They do a good job. So I'm looking forward to those games. He's excited for the games, and we're trying to make this a long-term deal. We just think it's good interleague type stuff with some top teams in some of the leagues.
I had a chance to talk to him before our series there, and I think, if I remember right, didn't they get quite a bit of snow that weekend? Yes, they did.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, they got quite a bit
of snow. It was cold, I know
that.
It
was cold and snow, and they were shutting schools down and everything. We were joking about how that usually happens back where we are when he makes the return trip next year.
Yeah, and then his comment would be, yeah, well, why don't you guys stay home and leave it there?
Exactly. But that's coming up on the 13th and 14th, and of course, the one game, a lot of people I've talked to, why only one game at North Dakota? Well, this is that U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame game, and we did this with Wisconsin a couple of years ago, and we'll be at the Ralph Engelstad, first time since their realignment that the Huskies will be there.
Yeah, isn't it great, though, that we got the call from Brad Berry, their coach, from Brad. He called and asked us to play in the game. We were invited to play in the game, and it's a one-game deal. It's an exempt game for us, which means it doesn't count against our allotted 34. How our schedule works is we get 34 games, and then we get an additional 2 games if we go to Alaska once. That's a kind of a bonus for teams to go play in a perimeter area. So they're in our league. We go there actually twice, I believe. Oh, maybe only once this year and
just
twice the following
Banks.
Yeah, and then twice the following year.
For every game you're up there, you get another game.
So. Yes. So, but anyway, so we get two additional game opportunities if we choose to take them for going there once. If we go there twice, like a couple years, I told you a couple of years ago, we played 10 non-conference games. That's because we went up there for four games and we got two additional games. So we got four games that didn't work against our 34. So we get the additional games. This game doesn't count against that. If we play the development program, it doesn't count against that. So we're allowed additional games for it doesn't count as a weekend of competition for us. But the big thing is it'll be a great experience for our players. It'll be again another top team pairwise in a pairwise situation for us to help us out. You get the additional bonus points potentially on the road if you have success there. But we're invited to go play against a top team, and it's always great to be invited. That's the respect the program has to be invited to go play these games.
Also, the Great Lakes Invitational, we don't know the dates on that now since Little Caesars has come about as the new venue. It's a little bit different scheduling-wise than it was back in the old Joe Louis days, but we'll be very excited, obviously, taking on Michigan State in that first semifinal, and Ferris State will be the invite team.
Yeah, and that to me, now, Dr. Sandgren probably won't like me saying that, but this is, to me, it creates a scheduling problem for us in some degrees, not knowing when it is, because I'll give you an example. In 2 years, we haven't completely voted on the schedule yet, but let's just talk about this year, what happened to us. They moved it late. Remember, they moved it right to Sunday, Monday. We had to leave and go right to Mankato, and we were, and that set up our second half. We went on short. We had a travel day on Tuesday, and then had to play Friday, Saturday in Mankato for a first-place series. So it can create a short turnaround, and even our schedules going out have, in a couple years, they have us playing a schedule game on the road January 1st and 2nd. Well, that means the GLI has to be sometime prior to that, or else we're going to have a scheduling glitch that somehow has to be worked out. I have no idea how we'll resolve that at this point. We're trying to move some things around, but it's against Huntsville, and they don't own their building, so they have to work around another schedule. It may not be that easy to change, so having some set times, if that would help a lot, because we're only allowed to pull out when we supply information when they go in and hire the group they do to do our schedule.
Right.
We only have so many dates that we can pull out. The GLI is one of them. Winter Carnival is one of them. And then if you have any non-conference game scheduled, which we do, those are automatically put in there. Everything else is fair game for the league. And if not knowing when that schedule is, we'd have to burn one for a potential off weekend right after covering for the GLI. So it makes scheduling a little difficult.
There's so much I want to talk to you about, Coach.
Let's talk.
Well, I know we got things we got to do here, but we'll get you back in here real soon. But really quick, we haven't talked to you really since the championship game for Duluth. I mean, pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty impressive.
Well, you know, like you and I were just talking off the air, and I had this talk with Suzanne. You know, Duluth, St. Cloud, Mankato, Michigan Tech, we're all the same. We're Division II programs. Is North Dakota, they've gone Division I.
They're
now,
Division
right?
all the way, yeah.
Yeah, but these are all Division II programs. I talked to our players about this. You have to be special. And you want to be special. And we have the opportunity to be special. And what we need to do, Duluth is a great example. St. Cloud's a great example. They're relentless in how they go about their business. You know, Duluth could look and say, okay, where are we on the pecking order in the state of Minnesota? Or St. Cloud can do the same thing. We're behind the Gophers. We're behind this, we're that. Mankato could do the same thing, but they don't. You know what I mean?
They're
Division II programs that are special. And with their culture and with their character, with their demands, you have to get to the point, like I told our players, where you are so tight that you find the weaknesses within your opponent, within these big schools, and I tell this in all honesty, Joe Sean is not going to go in and out coach Tony Granato. He's got many years in the NHL. I tell our guys that. I'm not going to go in and out coach him. But fellas, if you could be playing for them, you would. If you could be playing for, pick a top school, you'd probably be there, with the exception of Ray Bryce, who just loves everything that about Michigan Tech. He's from here. It's in his blood. It's in his DNA. But they'd be gone. So individually, we aren't you know, we're nothing. But together as a group, we can be special. We can be strong. We can be better than them, just like St. Cloud, just like Duluth, just like those schools. So I'm extremely proud of the example that they represent for all of us for what Duluth does. They're good men. Sandy's a good guy. You know, we had some good laughs in Florida. Jason Herter's a good guy. Those are good men. But their demands are high. You know, if you hear some of the things that they do, you know, I'd get challenged like, and you saw some. Sandy got up and walked out. I had someone write something about me this winter. Remember that?
I do.
Sandy, that guy was at a press conference because I think he's from Duluth. I don't know who the man is, but I think he's from Duluth. Sandy went in and saw him there. It was him and another guy. He looked at the other guy and asked for the comment or asked for any questions. The guy, whatever, had him, didn't have him. And then Sandy didn't even ask that guy that was on me. He got up and walked out because he was, you know,
backing you up.
Yeah. So, good guys, but you got to be bold and you got to be special and you got to be strong and you got to be conviction oriented and you have to drive culture above everything else. It can't be about the individual. If you look at the comments from the Duluth guys, they're all about team. They're all about sacrifice and that does not come with entitlement. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't come with entitlement. I love you know, and Suzanne said to me, Joe, was it Izzo? Tom Izzo can get away with that. Joe, you can't get away with that. But I look at it this way. Tom Izzo's a UP guy, just like me. Maybe Tom Izzo's successful because he's like that. Maybe he hasn't earned the right to do that. Maybe because of the way he was, the way he is, that's because he's... And I think more that way. You can't change a UP guy's DNA. You can't change us. You know what I mean? I can't change you. We do things, we look at things differently. We take care of each other. And that's what we have to do within our program. So I'm extremely proud of Duluth. I'm extremely proud of St. Cloud entering the tournament, number one seed overall. I'm extremely proud of Mankato, whatever they were, number three overall, and number one seed in their region. Mm-hmm. Those teams are Michigan Tech, and that's where we're going to be. Our goal here is to bring a championship to this community. It's not to do anything less.
Well said. Perfect ending, Coach. Thanks so much for coming on in. We'll get you in much sooner next time and talk about more things.
Great. Perfect.
Sounds good. Head Coach Joe Sean here on a Michigan Tech Hockey Update. I'm 693 WKMJ.